Left-click on these words to hear a sound file of the following. Scroll down to read this ebook using the down arrow key or the mouse. 103,189 words on a practical and creative view of management and organizational behavior. This ebook contains practical as well as theoretical information about management and organizational behavior. Website created in August 2008 by David L. Darity. Phone 212-581-3740. Email is rundavid@verizon.net. Scroll down to read this ebook using the down arrow key or the mouse. Read all the instructions first how to use this ebook. This book contains sound recordings of the text. This ebook contains narrations of the text, which is recorded in audio files. If you want to listen to the sound recordings, left-click on the hyperlinks that appear on the beginning of each chapter. The following is an example of one of these hyperlinks. Left-click on these words to hear a sound file of the following. Click on only one link at a time. Note, in some cases, it can take 1 or 2 minutes for the sound files to download after you click on the hyperlink, but they usually download in a few seconds. Incidentally, the sound recordings were produced with text-to-speech software, but the voice you hear sounds like a professional announcer. However, you might occasionally hear a slight pronunciation error. Instructions on how to open footnotes. To read the footnotes in this book, left-click on the numbers that appear in the sentences with footnotes. After left-clicking, you will see words highlighted in green. That is, all the words in the footnotes section are highlighted as follows to return to the main text after reading a footnote. See the instructions below. Quotations from other sources. Quotations are highlighted in light blue in this book, and they generally contain quotation marks as well, with an indication of their original source, such as the following: ABC, ABC, ABC. The best way to use this ebook is with internet searches. The ideal way to use this ebook is to read the topics of your choice, and then do an internet search with Google, or Yahoo, to determine the latest expert opinions about the topics. If you want to access information from the scientific journals, do your searches with Google Scholar. To access the three search engines mentioned above, click on the following hyperlinks. www.google.com, search.yahoo.com, scholar.google.com. Sophisticated internet searches. If you want to carry out sophisticated searches for websites and internet videos on management and related psychology, the following web link will be very helpful for you. When you left-click on this web link, it will take you to one of my websites that contains a number of unique search strategies, many conventional and specialized search engines, directories, and search pages, including internet videos, for the psychological sciences, which include theories and principles of management. www.techfortext.com web link. About the book. Some of the material in this ebook is in a rough draft format, and portions are study notes that I created for college studies. This material was modified and converted into a website in August 2008. The table of contents consists of a series of hyperlinks. The following table of contents consists of a series of hyperlinks, and it serves as a good outline of this book. Left-click with the mouse on the link to go to the section of the book you are interested in reading. Table of contents. Read all the instructions first how to use this ebook. To this book contains sound recordings of the text. 2 instructions on how to open footnotes. 4 quotations from other sources. 4 The best way to use this ebook is with internet searches. 5 Sophisticated internet searches. 7 About the book. 8 The table of contents consists of a series of hyperlinks. 8 Preview and notes. 16 Note on the use of male and female pronouns. 18 Note on definitions. 19 Chapter 1 Utility of studying management and organizational behavior. 38 We live in a society of organizations. 38 Chapter 2 What is management and what do managers do. 50 Definitions and related ideas. 50 The process of management. 75 A management process in terms of a methodology. 79 The above management methodology in terms of a series of questions in relation to a problem-solving method. 120 The skills a manager needs. 128 Conclusion. 132 Chapter 3 Concepts and factors of organizations in relation to problem-solving. 133 A description of this chapter. 134 A discussion. Of Concepts and Factors of Organizations in Relation to Problem Solving 136 Chapter 4 Organizations and Management from a Systems Perspective 217 What is a Systems Perspective? 218 Chapter 5 Planning and Related Ideas 341 Planning 341 Chapter 6 Organizing and Related Ideas 407 Chapter 7 Leading and Related Ideas 463 Chapter 8 Controlling and Related Ideas 541 What is Controlling? 541 Chapter 9 Problem Solving Creativity and Related Ideas 599 Introduction and Definition 600 Creativity and Problem Solving Formulas 606 Other Techniques that Can Help with Problem Solving and Goal Attainment 729 The Different Categories of Problems 832 Chapter 10 Communications and Management and Related Ideas 844 Introduction, Definitions, and Discussion 844 Another Description of the Communication Process 863 The Communication Process and Persuasion 905 The Concluding Words The Building Blocks of an Organization and the Communication Process 931 Chapter 11 Organizational Culture and Management and Related Ideas 941 Introduction and Definitions 941 Organizational Subcultures 953 Organizational Culture and Subculture as an Analogy to Societal Culture 963 What is Culture 963 Other Models and Ideas in Relation to Organizational Culture 968 Conclusion 1017 Chapter 12 The Hawthorne Studies and Related Ideas 1022 What We Can Learn from the Hawthorne Studies 1023 Chapter 13 Human Motivations Management and Related Ideas 1181 Motivation 1181 Motivation From a Practical Perspective in the Work Environment 1255 Conclusion and Problem Solving Questions 1320 Chapter 14 Miscellaneous Ideas on Management and Organizational Theory 1325 Miscellaneous 1325 The 360 Degree Appraisal System 1326 Computer Technology 1329 Management by Objective 1360 Manufacturing a Product 1382 Marketing 1388 Prejudice in Relation to Organizations and Management 1406 Human Resource Management 1417 Scientific Management 1425 Preview and Notes. This book deals with organizational behavior and the practice of management, from a practical and creative view, with an emphasis on problem solving. The principles in this book are valuable for anyone who will be involved with a managerial position or an organization. However, the ideas in this book have a much wider application than is suggested by the above. The principles and methods of organizations and management can be applied to daily life, even if you are not a manager. We are managers of our own lives and some of us are managers of a family. The book is written in a way that illustrates this type of practical utility, which makes this book unique. In some cases, the principles are actually applied to non-organizational situations to demonstrate their value in everyday life. These general applications will suggest new insights into the problems of individuals and organizations. Note on the use of male and female pronouns. The current convention is to use he or she, him or her. His or hers, when referring to a hypothetical individual. This can result in very cumbersome sentences. Thus, I will not follow this style. As a more functional alternative, I will use the female pronouns, such as she, her, hers, in odd-numbered chapters and the male pronouns, such as he, him, and his in even-numbered chapters. Note on definitions. In the social sciences, especially in organizational behavior and management theory, concepts are not always defined well. This suggests the question, what constitutes a good definition? There is no simple answer to this question, but there is a very precise complex answer, which is presented in the following five paragraphs. A good definition contains the necessary properties and components to define the concept. That is, a good definition should not delineate properties that are not a necessary condition to distinguish the concept from other entities, ideas, principles, or words. For example, if we define an automobile as a passenger vehicle that has four wheels and a gasoline engine, we have unnecessary information in the definition. If a car has an electric engine, it is still an automobile. If a manufacturer built a conventional-sized car with six wheels, for extra traction it would still be an automobile. In addition, the above definition does not distinguish an automobile from a bus or a van. Based on these ideas, we can create a more precise definition for an automobile, which is a vehicle that can hold approximately 2 to 6 people, and has an engine. However, this definition is still deficient because it does not distinguish an automobile from a small airplane, boat, or a small passenger car of a train. A better definition is a vehicle that can hold approximately 2 to 6 passengers and moves along the road, without the aid of tracks, by means of an engine. Thus, in most definitions become more understandable and less confusing if they are followed by a paragraph-length explanation delineating the definition and providing additional information. For example, explaining that most modern automobiles have gasoline engines, usually travel in the general range of 5 to 65 miles an hour, are driven and controlled by one person, and can usually seat 4 passengers, would provide additional information that would clarify the concept in relation to most modern automobiles. Discussing unusual types of automobiles, such as cars with electric engines, racing cars, and very large or small cars would provide more clarification of unusual variations of the concept. Another problem that is often seen, in less than perfect definitions, is defining an ideal version of the concept. I will use Montana and Charnock definition of planning as an example. The management function consisting of forecasting future events and determining the most effective activities for the total organization to achieve its objectives. This was a quote. It is certainly wise to try to forecast future events before making plans, but if plans are made without any forecast, they are still plans and the process is still planning. Perhaps it is not good planning, but that is beside the point. The phrase determining the most effective activities for the total organization is also not a necessary condition to define planning. For example, if a manager creates a set of plans that will maximize his personal gain at the expense of the entire organization, his destructive efforts are still a type of planning. Thus, Montana and Charnock did not really define planning. They defined good planning. That is, they briefly describe a highly functional planning strategy that has general application for managers and organizations. This could have been achieved in a more precise way by first defining planning. Then the properties of good planning could have been described. Another problem that often manifests with inadequate definitions is the result of explaining what the concept or entity is made of, instead of defining it. This can lead to very confusing definitions, unless you are thoroughly familiar with the concept that is being defined. A good example is found in the Glossary of Management by Hal Riegel and Slocum, which is an attempt to define the Internet. Their definition is a loosely configured, rapidly growing web of 25,000 corporate, educational, and research computer networks around the world. This was a quote. The above is obviously a description of some of the primary components that make up the Internet, as it exists in the 90s. Obviously, if someone did not know what the Internet was, they would not be helped by the definition provided by Hal Riegel and Slocum. A reasonable definition of the Internet is a computer-related service, which is usually accessed through telephone lines, that allows an individual computer user to communicate with other computers throughout the world, to obtain or send data, which can be in the form of text, graphics, motion video, audio, software, or any combination of the above. Another definitional inadequacy involves defining a concept with words that are more difficult or abstract than the concept that is being defined. This inadequacy is quite common, and it is even found with some of the definitions in the dictionary. I will use a definition of a television set as an extreme example. A television set is an electronic device that receives transmitted signals of audio and video, in the form of electromagnetic radiation in the radio frequency range, and converts the signal into a form that can be perceived by human beings, by means of a loudspeaker system and a cathode ray tube. If a person did not know what a television set was, or if they were learning English as a second language, this definition would not be of any value. If you are familiar with a television set and basic electronics, the definition might sound perfectly clear. This idea can be generalized. That is, a definition that is incomprehensible to most people might be highly comprehensible to knowledgeable individuals, who are familiar with the technical terms and principles that comprise the definition. This makes it extremely difficult for the person who defines terms. He is not likely to spot such inadequacies, unless he asks an individual that has no knowledge of the concept to evaluate the definition for comprehensibility. Thus, it should be apparent from the above paragraphs that it can be quite difficult to define the concept in a proper way. I am sure that some readers will find some imperfections in my definitions also. It is probably not possible to create a definition that is perfect. One of the reasons for this is the perception of imperfections is partly a matter of the perspective of each individual. Another reason is that words are used to define the concept, and each individual may have a slightly different understanding of the words. And still another reason is each individual has unique experiences and knowledge about a given concept. For example, a person from a culture without large modern organizational structures will have a different concept of an organization than an average American.